Good morning, just in case we haven't said that already. My name is Rob, I'm the lead pastor of this church. I always got to say that for the online audience. Matthew 15 is where I want to land today. If you've got your Bibles or your devices, open that up. I cannot get away from this passage. I've just been, you know, I don't want to say stuck in, that's terrible, but I just keep resonating with. So I want to unpack a little bit more with you. Hey, if you're here for the first time this morning, I mean, I'm so grateful you're here. If you're here for the 4,680th time here this morning, because in 1935 a church was established, and you've been here almost every morning, he's looking away because he doesn't want to be recognized this morning. But either way, you're welcome here this morning with us. Matthew chapter 15, though, is a story about being clean or unclean. And I talked about this kind of spiritual spring cleaning. You know, we're about that time of the year where we're having to deal with weeds or having to get cobwebs out. You're having to get your, you know, spray off your driveway or clean your car, all that kind of stuff. So spring cleaning, but a spiritual spring cleaning. So on May 4th, I talked about part of this passage. And on May 25th, a month ago, I talked about another part of this passage. But so this is the third and I want to say final part of this. We'll see where she goes. But let's just begin to read here in verse 12. And what's led up to this conversation is Pharisees and religious people of the day are saying, you know, be careful what you put into your body. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about what's being put in. Worry about what's coming out of your body. And so he's kind of just talking about this clean and unclean, about the right things going in and the wrong things. And so in verse 12 here, it says, after Jesus has made that statement, listen to what the disciples say in verse 12. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Like, Jesus, I just need to remind you, in case you're not reading the crowd properly, like, I love the Bible. Like, you know, the disciples, you're going to go over to Jesus and say, hey, just in case you didn't notice, you didn't pick up on, the Pharisees were not a happy camper when you said that. Like, Jesus, like, what's wrong with you planks? You know, like seriously, like, of course, I'm Jesus. I already knew how they were going to respond. I already know what they're thinking, even though they're not saying it. And I say, the Bible is just, you know, it's so amazing. Just love it. In verse 13, it goes on to say, he replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both fall into a pit. And so, because we have children here this morning, we got to have some illustrations and some photos and that kind of stuff. So I brought my blue bag here today, and I wanted to show you something that's happened over the years. So this is my extension cord, you know, where you plug it in. Needs a little bit of tape there. It's okay. There's a little bit of tape there so you don't get shocked when you plug it in. But it looks pretty good. This thing is as old as, you know, I don't know. We'll just say it's very old. I've had this since, you know, birth, basically. So it was a present to me, you know, a little baby gift, right? I'm joking. But I've had it for a very long time. That part looks good. But do you know, over the years, when you wind it up in a hurry, or you have somebody else wind it up and put it away for you, let's look at the other end. It's a bit knotted in there, but there we go. Like, look at how, like, that is not normal. It's not supposed to, it's not like a phone cord, you know, that's got the bungee part there. Like, that is wound incorrectly year after year after year. And you can, like, to undo that would take a miracle to be able to try and unwind that. And I think in our lives sometimes we've been led, we believe, we think about things that are actually incorrect. We've been wound a certain way for a lot of times. We've let certain things into our lives that have directed us a certain way. But then when we come to the truth of God's word, we go, that's actually not right. I need to revisit that thought. And sometimes it takes some time to undo and unwind and untwist some things that we've learned. And Jesus is saying here, hey, these people are leading people in the wrong way. Yes, they're doing that, but don't focus on that. Make sure that you're taking care of yourself and that you're being wound and you're listening to the right voices and you're listening to the right book. You're listening to Jesus. Really important for us to be able to unpack that and do that. So let us look at these three verses only and just look at them together. So verse 12, so the disciples came to him and asked, don't you know the Pharisees are already, you know, doing this fun stuff? So there are some false teachers out there in the world. And so what should we do about that? If you want to find an idea that you think is truthful, you can go on the internet and find support to back up your thinking. But the majority of the truth online is sometimes hard to find in the sense of what is the truth. And so Moses and I were just up on the Yukon near Atlin, BC, and we were doing some fishing, and we pulled up onto this campground where we'd stay or where the camp is up on the Yukon, and we saw this wilderness experience here. So we don't have pictures of the fish, but we got a picture here of the wildlife that was on the campground or at our campground. And you're thinking like, cool, a cinnamon cub and a mother bear. Awesome. And you can see like the spit on the right side. It's a bug that's kind of off to the smeary white part because we were in the car and we were just trying to ram it out of the campsite, honk, honk, because it was on the campground. You're thinking, cool. But at the same time, I'm thinking, not cool, because every time we came out of our cabin, it was like, like, it would be stupid to just come out of your cabin and just be like, oh, cool, man, a mother bear. Let's just take a photo or play with a little cub or something. Like, that would not be a smart thing to do, right? And so we were there, and, like, every day we came out, we're catching fish, we're flaying fish. Of course, oh, yummy, yummy. You know, bear keeps coming back. I'm like, no, and it's windy out, and you got the bear spray, and you're downwind. You're like, not smart, you know. Like, again, that would be, you know, blind following the blind, like doing something dumb. Like, think, I'll get the bear, but you get yourself, and now you're on the ground, and the bear's eating you. Like, you're just double bad. Like, it's a double, it's not good for you to do that. And so we have to use wisdom. And so wisdom would tell us, most of us are from the north, and we would understand that, like, you'd be cautious. You'd be careful around something like that. And so how do we let God direct us so that we don't follow the wrong things or don't do something really foolish and stupid? We can really hurt ourselves if we don't listen to the right voices. And so what do we do with the false teaching that's out there? So sometimes we want to correct, we want to deal with, we want to kind of, you know, speak against. And that's good. We do need to have truth. We need to make sure we're getting the right truth. But then what do we do with that situation? Do we go on the internet and start bashing them? Do we start trying to delete their posts or, you know, those kind of things? Listen to what the Word of God says, because almost like the disciples, do you know, Jesus, that there's false teachers out there, that people are offended by truth? And God's like, really? You know, like, in Matthew chapter, we're in chapter 15. Let's just go back to Matthew chapter 3, because Jesus has an answer. Chapter 3, verse 10. The axe is already at the root of those kind of false trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down, thrown into the fire. The point of Jesus' response to his disciples to not worry about the Pharisees, don't worry about the false teachers, is because there is a day of judgment coming one day, and they will be held accountable. And if you're a false teacher, you'll be held extremely accountable. So I'm so grateful for a denomination. I'm so grateful for a pastor that we kind of, you know, rub shoulders. I'm so grateful that we're online, and I'm very accountable to what I say. Doesn't that bring you a bit of safety and security? Like, we're going to get God's truth here today. And if we're ever off, we're going to correct or say, yeah, that was a little bit off. You know, we need to kind of readjust that thought. But let's unpack verse 13 a little bit more. He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roots. Ouch. I want to try and make a point here, and it might seem like, I'm not sure where you're going with that point, but let me just kind of say it, because we got kids here, so we got to have some fun with this idea. I'm in my office often, and there are these certain insects that have come out now, and they're massive. And all of a sudden, I'm just working, I'm like, bang, what the flip was that, man? And there's this dumb bug, like, just thinks, like, through my glass, it can just come right in and start attacking me, or so, bang. Have you ever been where you're at a house or you're somewhere, lots of birds around? Usually there's the young, it's usually the young ones, like the immature ones that are like, I'm going to go through the front window and through that side window and not realizing what glass is. And they go, bang, you know. Or, man, I just thought, thank you for that story. Or the bird's like, this chimney chute looks tasty. Maybe there's some bugs down there. Let's fly down there and be in the fire pit and see what happens. This has happened recently to some people I know. And so, like, those are foolish things. And so as we allow the world to say things, we go in directions that it might look okay or safe, but then we actually get hurt in the end. And we got to make sure that we have the right information so that we don't go the wrong way. I know insects and birds are not humans, or we're not that dumb. I understand that. But do you understand the context there? Only God can help us to not have blinders on, to keep us going in the right direction, to help us to end up at the right, um, at, in the right place at the end. Let's go on to verse 14 as well. Leave them, they're blind guides. If a blind leads a blind man, both fall into a pit. So can you imagine at the end, and you're standing before God, and you say, God, you know, I didn't really hear a lot about Jesus, but, you know, I understand religion and the principles of church. And so I applied some of those. And, you know, this other guy, he had some really good stuff to say. So I applied that to my life. And I came up with my own rule of life, God. And I did pretty good at the end of the day. And God is going to say, you were blind. Because the whole purpose of this is to know Jesus. The whole purpose of our lives are to follow Jesus. And if we can follow Jesus and follow his word, the rest of it will make sense. Because I live, I'm human. I'm just a regular guy that's gone through a lot in my life. And a lot of that doesn't make sense to me. And I will have a lot of questions for God. God, why like that? And why did that happen? And why me? And blah, blah, blah. All those kind of thoughts. But then when I get next to God's word and I think about Jesus, and I think about how much he loves me and how much he's going to carry me through all of that. Why not me? I found Jesus no matter how difficult it was. Jesus is Lord of my life and I want to honor him. I want to bless him. I want to follow him. I don't want to be led astray. So I'm so grateful that we're able to do that together as a church. I'm so grateful that we're growing as a church. And since we have kids here today, because it's a bit of our like family service, we're going to do something completely unique and different that we've never done probably in 7 years that I've been here. So everyone can freak out now. Okay. Most people start storming for the door. I got to get out of here. I knew this was going to happen. Pentecostal, we had a bag. I thought there was going to be a snake in there. You know. That's not kind of really funny to judge another, you know. Southern Pentecostal, I apologize. Okay. Here's where I'd like to go. I want to read 30 scriptures. Because when I look at this side of the story, this side of the coin, it's about, you know, the blind leading the blind. It feels like the negative. Like, you know, we're all dumb and we're all, you know, bump into things. We're not really following Jesus. Like, that seems like one side. But I want to talk about the positive side because sometimes you got to look at the good side of the coin. I want to read 30 pieces of scripture over you. I'm not going to say much about the scripture. It's going to unpack itself. Jesus is going to do the talking. The Holy Spirit will teach you right now. I want you to get into a space, and you might be happy where you are. That's all good. You might want to come to the front and just sit with your hands open and just say, I just need to receive from Jesus this morning. Maybe you want to kneel where you're at. We don't have kneeling pads here, but you can feel comfortable to kneel. You can stand if you want. You can move. Maybe you're not comfortable where you're at. Just move somewhere. But I just want to make sure that you're not distracted. I know for kids, I gave you a goodie bag. You've done a great job. Thank you for, you know, I thought we just gave like 50 paper bags out. Shh, be quiet, right? Or we gave you the gluten-free cracker. Who noticed that? That was like crunch, crunch, crunch. I'm like, mute my mic, you know. It's just, there's this distraction. So whatever that looks like, sometimes even when we get together on special occasions, we just ask kids to be quiet. And if they're not, it doesn't matter to me. But like, maybe you just want to sit with your kid. We're just going to receive together as a family the word of God that's going to minister to us and speak to us. You know, when kids go downstairs, we want them to hear scripture and learn about Jesus. Well, this is one way we do it as well in our sanctuary. This is what the kids are not missing out on, but when they're downstairs, this is what we do as a church. We just talk about the word of God and we deposit scriptures. And so what I'm envisioning happening is that these scriptures will be spoken over us. They'll go deep into our soul and our spirit, and it will be the guiding principle so that we will not be blind because we'll listen to truth and truth alone, not my voice. The Lord's voice, God's voice. And so I'm going to just give you 30 seconds or a minute. Again, whatever you feel most comfortable doing, wherever you want to land, I'm going to read these scriptures in just a moment here. I want to follow Jesus with every part of my body, every part of my mind, with every part of my heart, with every part of my soul. I want my desires to line up with the Word of God. I want all the distractions and addictions of this world to just be stripped off of me. I want it to be stripped off of our church, off of our community in Jesus' name. And I want this community and this church to be founded on the principles of Jesus and God's word. So in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In John 8:12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 10:27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Matthew 4:19 says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. In John 12:26, it says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. In John 21:22, it says, Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. 1 Peter 2:21, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Again, this is like, let us follow the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, in Jesus' name. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is so light. 1 John 2:5-6. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how that we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. Matthew 19:21. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will find treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. John 15:5. I am the vine, and you and I are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Colossians 2:6-7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as the Lord, continue to live in him, rooted in him, built up in him, strengthened in him, in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. John 14:15. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In Philippians 2:5, we got to check our attitude sometimes. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:17-21, my final verses here. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So why do we follow Jesus? Here's an answer. For as I have often told you before and now say again with even tears, many live as enemies to the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach and the glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Man, we need to shift away from that. That's blindness. But our citizenship in verse 20 is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I think of Pastor Ben's message last week talking about out of the book of Leviticus, out of the Old Testament, and he challenged us. The application point was to give something up. Maybe it's just even for a season or a short time to give something up. As we give something up, we add more time to spend with Jesus, more time to spend in his word, more time to spend in prayer. And so for some of us this morning, you say, yeah, I understand that. I know how to do that. I've got a devotional life. I take, you know, I've got my notebook and that kind of stuff. But maybe you're here this morning like I was so many years ago, and that just was difficult, and I just didn't open my Bible a lot. I want to challenge you with the simplicity of this. Every Sunday you come here, you know, you made the effort. You showed up. You want to grow. You want to mature. You want to learn. Then I challenge you to take the scripture, the foundational scripture that we use, and just read it all week. So it's just three verses. That's not a big ask. Read those three same verses all week, and you come back next Sunday, whatever the main message is, whatever the main topic is, take those verses, read that all week. So then, you know, you've got to start somewhere. But I want to challenge us as a church, because God is always on the move. He's doing something unique in our church right now. We think about the history of our church. You know, 1935, we were a dozen people. Along the way, we outgrew a building, we sold a building, built a new building. You know, we had two services back in the day. We had to sell that building, build another building. You know, this is our third or fourth building now. And here we are. You know, sometimes we do two services. Sometimes we've done three services. Sometimes we've had four or five pastors on. Sometimes we've had one pastor on. But the season we're in right now is a growing and multiplying season. And so we need to recognize that. But what do we do with that? I don't want to strategize and org chart and program this thing. We need to pray. We need to seek God and say, God, what are you doing? And let's open his word and let him direct us through his word. And then we'll know what to do and how to respond and how to act. And so that can't just come from the pastoral team or the board team or the leadership team. This has to come from our church. This is our family. This is our community. What is God doing? How can we align with what he is doing in and through us? So again, just a quick recap. Don't forget these verses. Matthew 15. The disciples came to him and asked, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended? When you read that all week, you could just laugh at that. He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roof. Leave them. They're blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both fall into a pit. Leave them. And I think the context, maybe the takeaway for me as well, is leave certain things behind. Just stop thinking certain ways. Stop doing certain things. I'm going to put that to rest, and I'm going to spend more time with Jesus and watch what God does. Let's have some fun this summer. You know, it might just be a short term. Let's just do it for the summer. Let's just unpack that a little bit. You know, you still got to mow the grass. You still got to take care of the whatever. You still got to do those kind of things, but spend some time with Jesus and less time on things that don't have eternal value. So praise God. Thank you for your word. I want to close now in just a prayer. And then we'll have the worship team come back and we'll sing one more closing song together. So Father, this morning, I'm grateful of how much scripture was brought across, how much of the word of God was brought across this morning that feeds our soul, that feeds us spiritually this morning. And Lord, we need more of you. Lord, we need more of your direction. We need more of your comfort. We need more of your peace in our lives. We think about the fruits of the Spirit. Father, these are the things that we want to come out of us. And so, Father, from the inside, Lord, minister to us this morning. Help us to process some of these emotions that we're going through so that we can be more like your Son, Jesus. Help us to do that, Lord. We cry to you and you alone in Jesus' name. Amen.